By 2026, public school districts across Massachusetts can expect billions of dollars more in state aid, especially those in low-income communities. That's the result of a long-discussed overhaul of the state's education funding formula that was debated in the past year and then approved last month. It's a story that received a lot of attention in the last year from WBUR's Edify team, including reporter Max Larkin, who's with us now. Hi, Max.
Hi, Bob.
So, let's start this way. What's this bill going to do, and when is it going to do it?
Well, Bob, I think at bottom, it's going to send, yes, billions of dollars in new state aid to all or nearly all school districts in the state between, as you said, next fall and 2026. But that aid is targeted to reflect the current reality, with a few districts straining each year to cover their minimum expenses under the current law. So all districts will get more money, but just a few districts, those with a diverse group of high-need students and without a ton of tax revenue, those districts stand to get a lot more money.
So how was the news of the signing of this package then greeted in those communities?
With much rejoicing, Bob. Take Fall River, about 10,000 students, 67% of whom come from low-income households, and their budget is extremely lean. Now, Bob, that district is growing, and unlike nearby Brockton, they've managed to avoid making layoffs in recent years. Nevertheless, Fall River Superintendent Matt Malone says he did a jig when the bill passed, since it could end up sending more than $50 million each year to the district. When I asked him how he'll spend the extra money, Malone referred back to a phrase from his time in the Marine Corps.
We use the term beans, bullets, and bandages about the actual stuff that we need out in the field. For us, it's books, technology, equipment, teachers, those things, the frontline services.
So the reason, Bob, that Fall River got this big budgetary win has to do with that targeting of extra funds. They get up to twice as much for having a high concentration of low-income students there.
So in the past, Max, new money for schools has been tied to stiffer accountability measures. Are there strings attached to the money this time around?
There are, but they're just a little bit less tightly wound than they've been in the past. Every 3 years under this law, districts will have to tell the education commissioner how they plan to spend the extra money, and he'll get a chance to approve those plans or to ask for a revision. But while this bill is heavy on new money and relatively light on controls as to how it's spent, some lawmakers have taken pains to make clear that more money alone isn't going to change the unequal landscape of public education in this state. Here's Representative Alice Peisch, co-chair of the Joint Education Committee, at the signing ceremony in late November.
During the course of developing this legislation, I saw too many examples of districts that were spending far in excess of the amount that we are now establishing as the foundation budget base. But somehow the neediest students were receiving the least.
So what are the districts Peisch is talking about here?
Yeah, I think she'd be thinking about big spending, tax-rich districts. You might think of Boston, possibly, but certainly a place like Cambridge. Cambridge takes in a ton from corporations, and they spend about twice as much per student in their public school system as does Fall River. And yet there are still these big score gaps between, say, black and white students, for example. I think it's worth noting, though, that Cambridge officials are ready to defend themselves. I spoke to Emily Dexter, who's an outgoing member of the Cambridge School Committee. She ran their budget subcommittee for the past 2 years. And Dexter says there might be some waste in the district's budget, but that the city is trying to give all students access to diverse schools and rich learning environments, and that that doesn't come cheap. And she also says that this country at large will have to spend more, maybe a lot more, if it wants to conquer these deep inequities in our public schools.
What's the goal? If your goal is to close achievement gaps, we have to spend a lot more money in this country. And I don't think America understands that or wants to invest.
Now, Bob, I do think we've gone a step in that direction with this new law. You had Senator Jason Lewis, who is the other co-chair of the Education Committee, who helped push this bill through. He called it the most progressive school funding system in the country. It's got a high baseline for the cost of educating any given student, and then it's got robust targeting at the students who have the most to gain from extra resources at school.
All right, so back to the big picture for this, Max. What is next?
Yeah, Bob, I remember I mentioned those three-year plans where districts have to say what they're going to do with the money. They have to submit the first of those plans very soon in April, and that timing might be a little bit awkward in the sense that it comes before the state and many cities have finalized their own individual budgets. So this will prompt a bureaucratic scramble, to be sure, in districts across the state to imagine what they might do with more resources for their public schools. And then the increased funding will start to show up next fall, but it will roll out gradually. So I think it will be at least a few years before we can judge what kind of effect the new money is having on teaching and learning, let alone on test scores.
And WBUR's Max Larkin of our Edify team will be keeping tabs on all that. Max, thanks a lot for coming in. Good to see you.
Thanks, Bob.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.